Welcome to Defense Unicorns, a podcast for mission-focused innovators. We educate, inform, and provide mission heroes with DevSecOps, cybersecurity, and organizational transformation stories from the world's leading problem solvers. I'm your host, Michaela Flatto, and we are so excited for you to join us on this journey. Welcome to today's show. Today, we have one of Defense Unicorns' very own, Brandy McCall. So, Brandy's currently in Sparkle Academy with Defense Unicorns, but one of the most interesting things about her is that she completely switched careers not too long ago. Brandy went from being an ICU nurse practitioner to becoming a software engineer. It sounds like jumping from one stressful job to another, but I see so many folks on LinkedIn expressing interest in switching careers to tech. And even specifically switching from healthcare to tech. Brandy, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired your decision to transition from the medical field to DevSecOps? Were there any specific events or experiences that led you to make that change?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. And I'm just so excited to be a part of the Defense Unicorns team. So there were several events. So I'll start at the beginning. I've been in healthcare for about 20 years. So that'll tell you I'm about middle-aged at this point. I was a bedside nurse in ICU for about 5 years. Then went back to school and got my nursing or my master's degree and became an acute care nurse practitioner and have practiced as a nurse practitioner for the last 9 years. And a couple of life-changing events that led me to want to transition from healthcare to something new. So it started with a move 2 years ago. I was living in Texas, loved my job, loved the people that I was working with. I moved to Colorado, so 1,300 miles away from all of my friends and family. Got an ICU job here, and the people there were really great, but it was becoming a little bit dangerous as far as the schedule, the commitment, driving to work in the snow. I had to work night shifts and alternating with days and nights, so I would be falling asleep on the interstate at 6:30 in the morning driving home, and that wasn't healthy. And I didn't really love it as much as I had at my previous job. So my husband has been trying to get me out of healthcare for years. And so anybody that's in healthcare knows that it's just very taxing on your work-life balance, and the schedule is very taxing on your family. So I started to think about, okay, where can I go where I can still be challenged, that I can work from home? That was a goal of mine, or at least the possibility to work remotely, which wasn't possible in my current position, and where I could make a lateral move financially. So that led me to talking around to friends and family, and I had a friend who introduced me to DevOps. I had never heard of DevOps prior to 8 months ago. So she told me about this program that she went through. It's called Level Up in Tech, and it was basically a boot camp for 6 months that taught you DevOps things and techie things, which we can get into in a little bit. But it felt like something that I could transition to that would meet those goals of working from home, better work-life balance, a lateral move financially, and that it would be fun. And I knew that my husband could help me out, like to learn the things, because he's a software engineer. So I don't think I would have made the jump without him, but he was like my biggest cheerleader.
So that's so crazy to me that, so your friend is the one who introduced you to Level Up in Tech. Because yeah. I was wondering, when you first decided to switch careers, what made you decide to follow that path? And what made you decide Level Up in Tech rather than, there's so many options out there. And I feel like that's where people get lost. Do I go to a university? Do I go to a coding boot camp? What's the best way for me to get into tech that's not going to be too taxing on my current life?
So I did think about that. I was like, okay, do I go back to school? I already have degrees. I'm middle aged. I have a family. I don't want to go back to school for 2 to 4 years. I could, I just don't want to. And so I started looking into, can these people who go through boot camps get jobs? How successful are they? What are employers looking for? And the more I talked to people, the more I saw that it's really not a requirement to have a 4-year degree to transition into tech, which was very encouraging. And then as far as Level Up in Tech, I briefly looked at, so their program, I knew somebody that went through it and I knew that person personally. It wasn't just somebody that I met and hadn't met in person. Our husbands went to high school together, so I trusted her. I probably wouldn't have made the transition specifically to that program if I didn't know somebody that had gone through it and been successful. So there was that aspect. And then I felt like the duration of the program was good. It was 6 months. So it's long enough to learn a lot of things, but also short enough to where if you're putting all of your energy towards that, it's not going to kill you. Like, you can do something for 6 months. You can work and still do it and get through it. So I felt like I liked that. And then I talked to them before I signed up and talked about what the structure was. And the main thing that I really loved about that program is that they have coaches. And so you meet with them several times a week and they're available via chat every day, any hour of the day. And so I knew I was going to have a lot of questions and I knew that they were going to be responsive. And so that's why I went with them as opposed to your traditional four-year degree and stuff like that.
Something you said resonated with me, that you were basically in the middle of your life. You're a mom. You have a lot of other things going on. And I have always felt that, yes, the tech career field is heavily male dominated, but with the flexible schedules and being able to work from home, it is a very female and family friendly environment to work in. Are you finding that transition from healthcare to tech, that it is more family friendly and that you are able to spend more time with your family like you wanted to?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how incredible it is. So for example, I had to work so many weekends. I missed out on so many holidays. When I was flipping back and forth between days and nights, for night shift, I had to leave. Instead of leaving 30 minutes early to get to the hospital, I had to leave an hour early because of 5 o'clock traffic. And so we would actually leave. I would leave my kid at home. He's old enough, but I would talk to him on the phone until his dad got home 30 minutes later. So there would be, if I was working several nights in a row, I wouldn't even see my husband basically for a couple of days, because I would get home in the morning, he would go straight to work, and then I would leave for work before he got home. So it's just, and like now I wake up, it's summertime, my kid is home with me during the school year. I take him to school, I pick him up. It's just so flexible. I have every weekend, every holiday with them, and that's what's so amazing.
When you had mentioned that the program was 6 months, so were you still working as a nurse practitioner while you were going through that 6 month program?
I was. Yeah. So my husband was totally supportive. And like I said, he's in tech and he's, quit your job right now. You don't have to work. You can just dive into this. But I was like, no, I'm not going to burn a bridge. And they're short staffed, because we're always short staffed in healthcare. And it was like, okay, so I gave them 3 months notice and I worked shift work, 12-hour shifts. So I would work 3 days a week, 3 to 4 days a week. And then on my days off, I would really spend 8 to 10 hours on the program. And so the first 3 months I was working full time and doing the program full time. And then after that 3 months notice, I went down to 1 day a week working as a nurse practitioner. And the rest of the time I was just working on the program.
I want to hear more about how you balanced that, because that's insane to me, especially I obviously have a pretty flexible career right now as well. But thinking about taking on a 6 month program where I'm completely learning about something different, that's hard. How did you balance that with being a nurse practitioner, which is already a demanding job?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. So the first thing was I had a supportive spouse and a supportive family, and he knew that I'd be distracted for the next 6 months and figuring this out. And he was so nice. Like every day he came home, because he's a software developer. And so every day he would come home and he's, what questions do you have for me? And I'm like, take a seat, because I have a lot. So we're going to be here a minute. So he was so supportive. And then just like having those people around you who are going to encourage you. So that was really nice. The other thing is, even though I was working full time, it was shift work. So I had several days off during the week where I could work on things. And even the days where I had to go to work, I just find that I'm most productive in the early morning hours. So about twice a week, I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would crank out some tutorials or some videos that we were watching or something like that. I would do that from 3 to 5, and then I'd go to work at 5. And then whenever I came back, I'd just like chat with the people in the group and stuff like that. But I definitely had to make that sacrifice of getting up earlier and just having that focused time without anybody around. So I think that's what helped me get through it. The other thing too is just the community that you build in your program, which is maybe to me one of the benefits of doing like a structured program as opposed to learning all these things on your own, because you definitely can find all the resources to learn all this on your own and make it the transition. But the community or the program that you go through, they're going to hold you accountable for what you're learning. And then they're going to be there to support you as well. So even though I was on at 3 a.m., we had people all over the world taking this course and somebody else was awake too. So if I posted a question, somebody was going to respond to it.
I dabbled in the healthcare field a little bit in the beginning of my career because I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. One of the things I remember is needing to be an efficient problem solver quickly and also not showing that on your face. Because when you're with patients, you don't want them to feel alarmed or worried or any sense of that. You're quickly trying to do what you need to do, but also maintaining a calming presence for them. I'm curious, do you believe like your background in the medical field has influenced your approach to DevSecOps? And are there any unique perspectives or skills like the one I mentioned or others that you gained from your previous profession and that you find particularly valuable in your current role now?
Absolutely. And I thought of that, like when I was thinking about making the transition, it was like, okay, like what skills do I have that from healthcare that can also translate to tech? And really, I think that if you take the time to sit down, like no matter what field you're in, you can figure out skills that do transfer. And you should do that. If you're planning to make a career change from two opposite ends of the field, you should sit down, make a list. These are the skills that I have that I've developed in this career, and this is what I can transition over. And so the one that you mentioned, so that's just customer service, right? Like you know how to present something to a family member or to a customer, particularly in ICU when the news is not always great, and you know how to be empathetic, you know how to give them the information that you need to without completely overwhelming them. You are responsive to how they are reacting to the information. And so you adjust what you say based off of that. And you can tell, are they ready to hear this or not? And so that's going to help you in any field. If you're doing sales, like you're going to need to be able to read the people that you're trying to sell to. So I felt like that was really transferable. And then the other thing that specifically made me interested in DevSecOps as opposed to just like web design was the use of efficiency and automation. I like to consider myself a very efficient person. And so in healthcare and in the ICU, for example, we have these computers on wheels that we can, whenever we're rounding and we're talking about a patient, we bring the computer with us. It has, we're logged into the patient's chart and we can look up information if we haven't written something down that we need to look up. And so what I would do and what a lot of people do, but not everybody, is you get your computer before rounds, you go and round on the patient. As I'm rounding on the patient, I'm entering notes, I'm entering orders, I'm completing tasks, I'm getting things done. I'm not just standing there listening to whoever's presenting. So that for me was a very good form of efficiency. And I felt like DevSecOps, that's your whole goal, right? You're trying to make your processes more efficient and automate what you can. So I felt like that would transfer over. And then just working in teams, like we're not one person in the ICU. We have physicians, we have nurses, we have pharmacists, we have everybody. So very used to working in a collaborative team and being respectful to those people. Everybody has something to bring to the table. So I felt like that transferred as well. And there's probably a million other skills that transfer from one career to the other, but those were like my top three.
When you were transitioning to your new career, were there any significant hurdles that you encountered or obstacles that you faced, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, there are many tiers. So let's be honest, tech does not come naturally to me. And you're like, why did you go into tech? Because I knew that I could, even though it wouldn't come naturally, I knew that I could learn it, but I knew that it would be frustrating. So like I said, my husband would ask me, okay, what questions do you have? And so he helped out a lot there. When I was learning my first coding language, which was Python, and people who like code for a living, they'll be like, oh, Python is so easy. It was so hard for me. I just did not click. And so just increased hours of watching videos on YouTube, getting different people's perspectives of how they explain certain things, and then just practicing it more than I care to admit. So that's how I overcame it. But it was really just, you're being thrown a lot of brand new information at once, and it seems really intense in the moment. But then once I got to the end of the program and I looked back, and even just looking like at Linux, which is a very basic fundamental thing that you use in tech, I thought it was so hard at the time. And then now, you know, you got through it and you look back and you're like, wow, that's one of the easiest things that I learned. So just getting your problems head on, not getting too discouraged, but just like working through it, looking at more videos. We're so lucky to live in this day and age where you can look up anything at your fingertips, which is really nice. And then just taking a moment to look at yourself and what you've learned and have respect for yourself to see, okay, I got through that. They're going to throw something else at me. I can get through that too.
I got to ask, looking back at your career in the healthcare field and then now learning all about tech that you are, has there been anything that you have seen like outdated tech in the healthcare field that you think to yourself now, oh man, it would be so nice if I were to have had something like this or this automation back when I was in healthcare, and like this could really help the healthcare community with their problems with outdated tech?
Yeah, I think there's always room for improvement. We definitely used tech in healthcare several years ago. There was a big push to go to electronic medical records. So we all had to learn those systems. There is one major system that a lot of hospitals use throughout the U.S., and it's really great. I've learned to love it. But I see now just learning like things like scripting, I see how that could definitely be put into place in healthcare. And I'm sure it is at some point like behind the scenes. But if they were even to teach healthcare providers like basic scripting, you could automate processes. Let's say orders. Let's say we have a patient who gets admitted to the ICU and they get a breathing tube. All those patients, we put them on certain medications to prevent gastric ulcers. So it's called a PI, proton pump inhibitor. I have to manually put that in. So is there a way to automate all of those things that we want to be built into the admission order set? And that probably is. And we did have some things that were automated, but I just see how we could improve on that, I guess, now being more exposed to the tech world.
Something you mentioned earlier was that community in the DevSecOps career field that you were introduced to and leaned heavily upon during your career journey. And that's something that has been very inspiring about you, has been watching your journey of learning through LinkedIn. Most folks don't publish their learning journey play by play like you do. And let's be honest, it's what led Rob Slaughter and I to look at your page. And maybe about 7 or 8 months ago is when Rob had sent me a link to your profile. We got to talking about it, and then it led us wanting to recruit you. Back to the community aspect, I feel like you've built a little bit of a community of your own, and you've inspired a lot of others to pursue a similar path that you have. So my question for you is, what advice would you give to those folks that are considering a similar career change?
So I want to talk about the community aspect for a minute, just because, like you said, there's proportionally more men in tech than women, and that is changing. But one of my fears was, as a woman coming into tech, I was just going to get like snarky and rude comments. So I was a little hesitant to put myself out there. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised. That is not what I encountered. And I have to give a shout out to the Level Up in Tech program, because I was not a LinkedIn user prior to starting that program. And that was also one of the great things about them is, and I didn't know before I signed up, but they teach you how to use LinkedIn and how to build a network. And it starts with just reaching out to people that you don't know, but people like in the same field, in DevOps or in software engineering. And you can search by that criteria on LinkedIn, and you just reach out to them and you send them a message and you're like, hey, I'm starting a DevOps program. I want to connect to like-minded people, would love to add you to my network. And so doing that consistently every week after week, I built a network of thousands of people. obviously you don't interact with all of them on a daily basis, but I found several people who I started to interact with regularly, and they were just really big supporters. They would send me in the right direction if I had a question. One of them, I consider a mentor, but he actually, I messaged him, and it was after you and I had been chatting on LinkedIn, Michaela, and we were talking about this junior Kubernetes position that you had told me to apply for. And I was like, I haven't even learned Kubernetes yet. I'm planning to, but I haven't learned it yet. And so I messaged him and I was like, oh my God, they want me to apply for this position and I haven't even learned it. And he's, let's talk on the phone. So he's way more experienced. We talked on the phone for about an hour. He really encouraged me of what I should do. And so I would have never had that had I not built up this LinkedIn community. Kudos to Luit for helping the people who take it do that. And so then the advice is, I randomly found Defense Unicorns and I feel so lucky to have found you guys. After being in the program, I was on LinkedIn every day, just scrolling through, looking for companies that I might be interested in or people that I might be interested in connecting to. So you do have to be committed to that consistently. And so for me, that's how I would start my day. I check my email, I check my LinkedIn, then I'd get started on my work. And so I randomly found Defense Unicorns. And I reached out to you because I was so impressed with the mascots. And then I was like, oh my gosh, your mascots are so cute. And then I went to the website and I was like, oh my gosh, they do DevSecOps. That's amazing. That's what I'm learning. So I was like, hey, I'm going to keep you guys on my radar. And so we interacted and it's history from there. But the point is, number one, you have to be consistent. To build your network, you will have to reach out to people that you don't know initially, because I probably know 200 people like personally that I've interacted with consistently, and the rest is just, we're just connected. And that's okay, because there may be a day where you post something and it resonates with somebody that follows you, and then another opportunity comes up. But building the network, you're going to have to put yourself out there. And I found after posting my tutorials, number one, I prefaced it by saying, hey, I'm learning DevOps. I am not a pro. There is definitely a better way to do this. And it might not even be 100% correct what I'm saying how to do it, but I got it to work, right? It works on my machine. And the response that I found was just, I would say 99% was supportive. And so that's what I really love about LinkedIn. It was a very supportive DevOps community that I found. And I've encouraged others, they'll message me and I'm like, you got to start posting your stuff. And they're like, oh, I don't want to. It makes me cringe. I know, but try it. You'll be surprised.
And it definitely leads to potential employers looking at your profile and looking at the things that you're learning and thinking to themselves like, oh, actually, this person seems great. And they're doing a job of not only learning through it, but teaching others. Because I know you may think that I'm a beginner at this and I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. But in sharing it, you're also showing people that, hey, it's okay, because I don't know what I'm doing either. But let's be real. A lot of us don't know exactly what we're doing. But the more you see it on LinkedIn and in public places, the more you feel comfortable with going on that journey. So there's a lot of continuous learning there. What role does continuous learning and personal growth play in your professional life? And how do you stay curious? How do you keep expanding on your knowledge and your skills?
I think coming from healthcare, continuous learning is just such a thing there. So to keep your license, you have to renew your license every 2 years, and you have to have documentation that you've done so many hours of continuous learning. So that habit was already there. And then the cool thing about my role now is Sparkle Academy. So let's say what Sparkle Academy is. So Sparkle Academy is Defense Unicorns program for engineers who maybe have less than 2 years of experience, either software engineer or DevOps engineer. And you basically give them 3 months to go through these modules on different topics like Docker, Kubernetes, some of our internal products like Zarf, the DoD product Big Bang. And so you're reinforcing your knowledge on these concepts. And even if you haven't used them before, like I had never used Zarf or Big Bang. So learn about those. And it's just a supportive environment where you can read about it, you can watch videos, you can do demos with your headmaster or instructor, and really take the time where it's stress-free and all you're supposed to do right now is just dive in and learn, which was so great. And then going forward, what you can do, or what I plan to do, is certifications. And that's like a cringy topic because some people will get tech certifications and they will just get every tech certification that's available. But at the end of the day, a certification doesn't mean that you know what you're doing, right? It means that you know how to study for a test. However, on the other spectrum of it, you will learn something in studying for that test. So for me, once I finish the Sparkle Academy modules, one of the other things that I'm working on is I want to be a Kubernetes expert at some point in my life. And so I'm studying for one of the Kubernetes certification exams. And so I purchased a Udemy course. I'm going through those modules. I have practice exams. And after I get through that, then I'll say, okay, now what do I want to study and learn? And I'll probably look for some sort of certification course, only because that keeps me on track and it gives me like a goal to work towards. So I think especially healthcare changes, I don't think it changes as quickly as tech. So tech especially, there are new things daily and you're going to have to expose yourself to tech blogs, like what's the new and the greatest. And you're just going to have to commit to focused learning several times a week and be consistent with it.
Has there been anything specific that you've worked on, a specific project or a specific initiative that has really highlighted the impact of your transition to the DevOps community? And how do you feel like your contributions have made a difference in the DevOps community?
I don't know that I can think of a specific one. Even in healthcare, I tried to give back by teaching. That's just my nature. And so I went to conferences. I gave lectures on the national and state level. I taught medical students. I taught NP students, physician assistant students. I have a lot of medical PowerPoints that I've created. And so that was something that I wanted to bring to tech as well, because I know that I learn by teaching others. So if I can figure something else or something out and then I can teach it to somebody else, that's going to reinforce my learning. And so hopefully that's what I've given back and that I continue to give back is those tutorials that are on my Medium account. And like I said, they worked for me. I'm sure a year from now, if I go back and look at my tutorials from whenever I first started, I'll be like, okay, there's a better way to do that. And then I just write another tutorial, the better way to do this. Here's my first blog. Look at this one now. So I think it's really important to give back to the community, keeping those open source available so that people can learn. Not everybody can pay for a course. So anything that I can provide to give back, I think that's part of like my personal mission and goal.
So what you're saying is that we're going to see you apply to be a speaker at one of these Linux Foundation events coming up.
I am not opposed to that after I have more experience.
Hey, you know what? Do it whenever you feel comfortable, but don't think that anything can hold you back, because there's a lot of folks who you might think are so experienced and that's why they're giving talks, but really we're all learning together. You had mentioned that there aren't a lot of women in tech, and that's pretty true when we see stats on that every day on how disproportionate it is. So I'm curious, what are your thoughts on how do we get more women into tech?
Yeah, I think that we just have to recognize that, number one, it's possible. And I feel like my experience goes to show that maybe the culture has shifted. Like I said, initially, I had this fear that as a woman, I was going to be looked down upon or maybe not have the same opportunities as a male. And that was not the case that I found. There may be still some companies who prefer to hire males. I'm sure that exists, but I think that it's very well known now that there's not as many women in tech, and some companies are specifically looking to increase their number of women. So now is a really great time, if you had thought about transitioning to tech, to get that experience, go through that boot camp or whatever you want to do to get your learning, and then use that as an advantage. And even if you're a stay-at-home mom, I know women who have changed careers from being stay-at-home moms and been very successful when they changed into tech, because you're being a manager, time management, efficiency, all those things relate to tech. So I wouldn't be afraid to take that jump, and you won't know if you'll be successful or not unless you try. But I found it tech to be very opening, and I think it's a great time to transition.
I'm going to put on my HR hat here. I do think that a lot of women tend to look at careers in the healthcare field, nursing, dental hygiene. There's so many various things that I see women tend to lean towards when they're leaving high school or leaving college. But considering how benefits, see, there's my HR hat there, how benefits are changing and how women are like, wait a minute, healthcare tends to be what we all migrate to, but the schedule, the undermanned staffing, that just 12-hour shifts, being away from your family, and then discovering the world of tech and the world of flexible working and working from home. I think that more and more tech companies can draw women to consider switching career paths as they introduce those benefits and really think about women in those benefits. Because something that I haven't considered is, yes, obviously, when you're making a product that's going to go on a shelf at Walmart, let's say, you want to get all different parties in making that decision to make sure that your product appeals to a wide variety of people. But you don't really think about that in creating a software product until you reach a solution or you reach a problem where you're like, wait a minute. We created the software product, but we didn't consider that some folks from different countries or some folks who might be a different gender can't fully utilize this product because we hadn't thought about how all different folks approach this problem and how they would be using this solution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also on that too, because that's
a
different topic.
It is a different talk, but I think that's perfect. And I think that is just ammunition for women to use to say, hey, like, this is what I can bring to your team. Because let's face it, we can all do the job, right? Male, female, whatever. We can do the job. I only wish that I had found tech sooner or decided on tech sooner. So like you said, my mom was a nurse. So I have three sisters. We're all nurse practitioners. That's just what we did. I would have never thought of going into tech at a young age, because I thought it was mostly a male-dominated field. But we can do it, and we're needed there. Like, we have a different perspective than a male has, and we can add something to the table. And so once you believe that you can add something to the table, you're going to be successful. And you can bring that to your potential employer and say, hey, these are all my skills. This is what relates, and this is what I can do for you, and how my perspective is different than what most of your team maybe has.
I think that's incredibly valuable. And that is something, as like we pursue more diversity in tech, that is the arguing point of the more diversity in tech is going to make a better product because there's more folks giving their unique perspectives and putting that forward so we can think of every possible scenario for when we deploy software. So I got to ask this last question. Why do you think people should listen to this show?
Because you're the new host. That's amazing. Rob did a fantastic job, but Michaela, you keep us on our toes. It's fantastic. No, I think that we're just real. I know that you're very real whenever you interview people, and we try to give content that's relevant, but also interesting. And we just don't take ourselves too seriously. And that's my kind of people. Like, just get out there, have fun. There may be an occasional slip up here and there, but it's not like you're stiff podcast. You're going to learn something. You might pick up some tips. I don't know, websites to visit, stuff like that. But I think it's very entertaining.
Brandy, it was super nice talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me and chat about all the things. I mean it when I say that you have been a large inspiration on LinkedIn, not only for myself, but for a lot of people who are trying to wrap their heads around transitioning to tech and where to start that journey. So keep posting, keep sharing all the things you're learning, because you are making an impact and we really appreciate having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And yes, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn if you have any specific questions. I'm happy to answer them. And until next time, thanks, guys.